This is the Heartland Collegiate Compendium. Principles of Macroeconomics, Econ 10202. Lecture 24, delivered on the 19th of November of 2008. The title of this lecture is Savings, Investment, and Taxes in the Global Economy.
Today, savings, taxes, and investment in the global economy. I will begin by reminding you of the ghost of equations passed in this course. You will recall the old Y equals C plus I plus G plus X minus M aggregate expenditures model, where we would say that the national income is the sum of our consumption plus our investment plus our government plus how much we make net from overseas, our exports over our imports. Now, the second part of this model, which I didn't emphasize too much in this course, and it used to be that we really hammered this one home, but not so much anymore, is that we can also model national income as the sum of what we consume, plus what we save, plus what we pay in taxes. And remember what I said, you can cut up an animal all kinds of different ways, as long as you can put the whole animal back together. In this first way that we do it, Y equals C plus I plus G plus X minus M, we're talking about it from essentially the expenditures view. In the second way of carving up the national income, we're talking about a somewhat different way in terms of how much where our money goes. This is where our money is coming from in the first way. In the second way, Y equals C plus S plus T, we're talking more about where the money goes. Some of it goes to what we consume, some of it goes to what we save, and the remainder is what we send away to Uncle Sam and to the local and state governments. And as usual, we can talk about an equilibrium in this regard. Okay, we've got simultaneous equations. The Y in one would be the Y in the other, where the two intersect, where our equilibrium of our economy is. So we can say, all right, C plus I plus G plus X minus M in equilibrium, where the two lines would cross if we graph them, would equal the C plus S plus T. Since we're talking about just two different ways of carving up the national income, we should have those two ways of carving it up equal each other at the end of the day. If I carve you up one way, and then I carve you up another way, when I put you back together, you should be the same, you should look the same. Well, roughly, you know, there'll be some meat that flew off, you know. But anyway, you know what I mean. Okay. No. There are some things I'll do in class, but bringing in a chainsaw wouldn't. Maybe Ginsu knives or something like that. But in this, so what I could do is, okay, I say, let me kind of simplify this, do some algebra and all of that. So obviously the C's will eliminate each other. So I can get this into I plus G plus X minus M equals C plus S plus T. Well, that's very nice. What the hell does that mean? Well, did I screw something up? Oh, I left the consumption. Geez, I am a capitalist. S plus T. Now, let me do a little bit of algebraic rearrangement. There's a purpose to this because it'll give us a way of explaining. When you look at it this way, that's nice, but it's hard to put some words on chunks of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the X minus M on the rights on the left side. And then I'm going to take the I and the G and subtract them. And I'm going to group the items by associative property. Of addition. I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to take the S that's over on the right side by its natural place, and I'm going to put the minus I with that one. And then I'm going to take the T, which is over there on the right side in its natural position, and I'm going to put the minus G with that one. Okay. I'm just subtracting I and G and putting them in particular places. And the reason I'm putting them in particular places is because I can say, oh, I see what that is. See, when I write it like that, I've got X minus M equals S minus I plus T minus G. Now, S minus I could actually name that. That's savings minus investment. So that would be our net surplus of savings. See, investment comes from what we save. So I could say, well, that S minus I might be our net surplus of savings over investment. And the T minus G, well, that one is actually even easier to describe. That's our federal budget surpluses. More or less. How much we take in taxes minus how much we pay out in government. So this T minus G, I can just say this is our net federal or government. I probably would be better to say, but I'll just say net federal budget surplus. Now remember that in either of these, if they're negatives, we wouldn't call them surpluses. What if they were negatives? What would you call them if these deficits? Yeah. So I could actually put this and say, or deficit on the first one, and or deficit on the second one. So in a way, what I've got going on here is a means by which I can actually relate our global activity in X minus M, our trade with the world, to our internal means of financing ourselves. You see, in this part, we've got the private sector, S minus I. In this one, we've got the public sector. So I could write underneath S minus I, private activity, and with the T minus G, I could call that our public activity, our public works. Okay, you with me so far? And I'm just kind of labeling things here so that I can say, so what we earn in net trade surpluses or deficit would be equal to the sum of our net surpluses in the private sector plus our net surpluses in the public sector. Now maybe, I don't know if you see it emerging now, but this is a rock solid equation. This is not something that we could decide on in a sense, well, do we want to believe this or not? Do we want to accept this? This is just how it works. The amount of trade surplus or deficit would have to be the sum of our internal saving surpluses or deficits over investment plus our net federal budget surpluses or deficits. Do you notice that if both of these, S minus I and T minus G, are positives, in other words, we save more than we invest and we tax more than we spend at the government level, we would have to run trade surpluses. It wouldn't be we could decide to or not decide to. It wouldn't be a matter of is the world screwing us with manipulated exchange rates or dumping on us or not. That's just the way it would have to be. There is no way around it. It is an equation. It is an equilibrium condition of the economy. So if we saved more than we invested, and we ran federal budget surpluses, we would have to run trade deficits. They would be forced to be trade surpluses. Think about it this way. There's an interest rate mechanism that's hiding under the surface here that is what would actually drive it. See, if our taxes are higher, larger than our government is not stepping into the markets to borrow money. If our government isn't stepping into markets to borrow money, that means that it's not putting upward pressure on interest rates. Remember, if the government wants its money, it'll pay whatever interest rate it has to. That's the crowding out effect. But if the government isn't borrowing more than it is taking in tax revenues, then the government is not putting upward pressure on interest rates. And if we're saving more than we're investing, that would mean that there is plenty of money available for businesses to get their investments done, so they're not bidding up interest rates to get their borrowed capital. So if S minus I and T minus G are positive, that would mean that there is not upward pressure on interest rates. There's actually downward pressure on interest rates. But if there's downward pressure on interest rates, that means that the dollar would not be as very strong, which would mean our exports are cheap, so our exports would be high. Imports from other countries would be relatively more expensive, so our imports would be low. So X minus M would have to be positive by virtue of the interest rate effect. Did you follow what I just did there? I got a little bit of deer in the headlights there. But do you see that interest rate mechanism at work? It's actually going to be the equilibrating mechanism. It will be how this thing equilibrates. Interest rates will adjust to create this equation as an equation. As interest rates, if the government is not borrowing lots of money, you don't have the crowding out effect. They're not going to the capital markets to borrow and borrow, so interest rates are not going up and up as they borrow more. So interest rates, if T minus G is positive, that means interest rates are going to be favorably low. At the same time, if there's lots and lots of savings, then businesses don't have to bid up interest rates to borrow money, so that keeps interest rates low in the private sector. And because interest rates are low in both of these sectors, that would mean we would have trade surpluses because our dollar would be fairly weak, and so our exports would be very cheap overseas. We'd get a lot of people buying our stuff, and imports would be relatively expensive because, as the mirror image of that, so we'd run trade surpluses. That's how the mechanism works. The interest rates are the equilibrating, they are the dial. They're the one, the dial that actually moves back and forth to keep this in balance. Now, go ahead.
So, when we run a trade surplus, our dollar's
weak. If we're running a trade surplus, that would mean that our dollar is relatively weak. That was the explanation. We've seen the dollar sliding precipitously for a couple of years now. And there were a lot of private economists and others who were saying, our dollar is going into the toilet. We don't want that. We're America, big, strong America. We don't want our dollar falling like a third world currency. And then it occurred, of course, to some of us. I would point out, they are letting the dollar fall, collapse, because that will increase our exports and decrease our imports, which will ultimately stimulate our export industries, which might be able to save our GDP. Because remember, the GDP is C plus I plus G plus X minus M, and if these are going to hell, C and I are going to hell, then we might be able to stimulate the economy through our export industries. Go ahead.
Why would they want to switch? If we're in a trade deficit with our own growth,
Well, that's just it. If we want to go to a trade surplus, our net exports feeds money to the economy. Because if you are a company that builds stuff to sell overseas, let's say, for example, with recognition of you gentlemen, you make tacos. Okay, wouldn't it be great if your tacos were really cheap in Mexico so that you could sell buttloads of them in Mexico? And wouldn't that mean that your company would grow? And wouldn't that mean that the GDP would reflect that growth of your company and other companies that were exporters? That's the trick. That was why we were letting the dollar slide, because that might help us with our GDP. Because it was apparent that the private investment sector was collapsing. Consumption had been sliding badly. So it might be worth our while to save our asses by getting our export industries underway again. As it turns out, and I can speak from personal experience trying to get people to start working with me to do export businesses, there were a lot of people and companies that just, oh, we don't want to get involved in that. And there are reasons that are legitimate in that, but nonetheless. Now, let us reel forward to last Sunday on 60 Minutes when the president-elect was asked, what are you going to do about the trade deficits? And he said, quite seriously, I do not see that as a priority right now. I'm not going to worry about that, basically is what he said. I'm not going to worry about our trade deficits right now. Now, why would he have said that? When trade deficits are obviously something that we consider to be not such a great thing.
Because the dollar is strong.
Well, that's right. The dollar would be strong. Let's try it this way. If this X minus M is negative, let's say it's deeply negative, really negative, that would mean that the sum of these two would be negative. Well, let's take it this way. You saw in the picture, the graph that I showed you at the beginning of the hour, that S minus I might actually be closing. S is going up, I is sliding as a percentage of GDP. So this is no longer nearly as much of a negative as it might have been some years back. So this is no longer going to be as negative. So if this is a very big number that is negative, and this is not a very big number that's negative, that would mean that this has to be the big negative number. If this is a big negative number, T minus G, that would mean that T is very small compared to G. No, he's not going to raise taxes. He's going to keep taxes low, spend extraordinary amounts of money. And if you're going to do that, where are you going to get that money? There are two sources if you're not using taxes. What are they?
Borrowing
or printing money. Now, the Fed seems to have found Jesus and is going to try to collapse the money supply. There's only one place you can get the money to run a massive government and do tax cuts at the same time. Where would that be? From the foreign central banks that are collecting dollars because we're running huge trade deficits. He's not stupid. He understands what's going to happen. S minus I is not going to be a significantly negative number. There will not be a lot of competition in the private sector for borrowed funds. That means that the field for borrowing money will all be public sector. And if the government wants to borrow money as a public sector investment, keeping taxes low to try to stimulate the economy out of the recession and bringing government up to stimulate us out of the recession, the only way you could have that negative and that flat would be for the trade deficits to be massive. You can't close the trade deficits if you want to run giant budget deficits at the federal level. Now, where are we projecting the federal budget deficits? Let's try it this way. First of all, what was the federal budget deficit for the fiscal year just ended? Fiscal year 2008 ended at the end of September. What was it? $450 billion. That's a big one. Does anyone know what the projections are going out over the next 4 years? They're per year, possibly as much as $1 trillion deficits. I mean, that's the kind of thing that would turn a sane man into a Calvinist. I mean, this is ridiculous. However, if you are going to run deficits of that kind, if you are going to have to do that, and we might really have to do that, I mean, what else are you going to do? Tell everyone to go to hell? You know, die in the Great Depression? If you are going to do that, there is going to be only one way for that negative to be balanced, and that is if this is negative as well. If this is hugely negative. But there's a problem with that. There's a problem. If this is going to be a negative, that would mean that interest rates would have to be high. Because X high interest rates make X go down, M go up. Okay, so interest rates would have to be high in order to play that. And the reason they would be high is because government is just beating up the capital markets, absorbing all the money. Demand for capital, global capital funds goes up, interest rates reflect it. But if interest rates are going upward, what is that? Let's look at some of the consequences of that. First of all, if interest rates are being pushed upward by the government hammering the global capital markets. If interest rates are very high, what happens to savings rates? Let's try that. First of all, think logically. If interest rates are really big, yes, S will go up. If interest rates are high, what will happen to private investment? Borrowing for money. Yeah, they're going to go through the toilet. Are you kidding? We're not going to borrow money for a new plant. We're not going to borrow money for a new project. So I will go down. So the high interest rates would actually cause this to become more positive, which would counterbalance this becoming more negative. That's interesting right there. So that would mean that that would put a slowdown on how bad the trade deficits could get. But there's another side to that. If interest rates are going up very strongly, what's going to happen to the balance of consumption versus savings over the next few years? Consumption will go down because savings will go up. But what happens to our national economy, which is driven by consumption, as consumption goes down? That will actually hurt our economy. The recovery would be much slower. You see how by the end of this course, you can actually put it all together. It's hard. Doing this on your own might be a little bit beyond you now. I certainly would not beat you to explain the whole chain of logic. But I can certainly expect you to see what I'm talking about and understand that this is a dynamic that is all interconnected. The trade deficits, the government deficits, the surpluses or loss, surpluses or deficits and savings over in private investment. It's all linked, and the linkage is the interest rates. We will have an interest rate environment that will stay high. Now, if the Fed wants to be a friend, and remember, Uncle Ben is still going to be there, Uncle Ben Bernanke is still going to be there in the Obama administration, and he sees high interest rates, and he feels that the Fed should still be the big helper of the economy, what would he try to do to help this problem with high interest rates? How would the Fed work to help with high interest rates? So he would print more money because he would increase the supply of money, which would reduce the price of money, which is real interest rates. So if the Fed does the stupid thing of actually starting to try to bring down interest rates by pumping money into the economy, well, that's going to cause interest rates to go down, possibly for a while, but not for very long because that will feed inflation. But if we have a high inflation rate would make our dollars cheap. Because there'd be more of them. So we'd be watering down the value of our dollars. But if we have high interest rates, if our dollars become cheap across the world, what would that do to the trade deficits if we water our currency down to crap?
It's not
It would close the trade deficits. So if Ben Bernanke steps in and tries to help by oversupplying money to the U.S. economy, he might very well cause a temporary effect, but he will create inflation, which would water down our currency, which would make our dollars cheap in global capital markets, which would actually close our trade deficits. And then that would make less capital available for the government to borrow. And so interest rates would go up even more aggressively as the government tore up the field looking for money to fund its operations of its government over its tax base. So you have a mess if the Fed even dreams of stepping in to try to help this matter. The Fed has already created enough trouble as it is. If the Fed does not lay off and just stay out of the game and contract the money supply like it should, if the Fed steps in to try to be helper, this whole problem could get even worse, because interest rates would start to go up even more aggressively, which would close our trade deficits. It would also drive the savings rate up, drive the investment rate down, which would make this more positive, which would close this even more, which would force the government to borrow more aggressively and offer even higher interest rates than it did already. Kind of a very difficult, tricky situation. Will we get out of it? Yes. Will it hurt like hell? Of course. But notice something interesting. We are in a situation where the binding laws of economics are going to govern just exactly what happens over the next few years. We don't have the idea that this is all the decisions of presidents and all of that, the decisions of congresses and people's will and desires and their want to make the economy better. That's not part of this. This is actually just rock solid equilibrium dynamics, and it's driven by interest rates. As I said to you, I would not, certainly not hold you to some comprehensive overview. I couldn't even examine you on that, except in a long essay question, which I wouldn't do in a class like this. But what I do expect you to be able to understand, and what I would ask you, is something along the lines of, okay, if interest rates, if the government runs budget deficits, all other things being equal, what would that do to our trade picture? And your answer would be, well, if everything else is being held constant and the government is running larger trade budget deficits, that means the T minus G is becoming more negative. So by definition, that would create trade deficits. If this is negative, and if this is getting more negative, and this isn't doing anything, this has to become more negative. It has to. I would ask it to you like that. I would something along that line. Or I would say, okay, holding everything else constant, what is going to be the consequence of doing another round of tax cuts to try to stimulate the economy? If you hold everything else constant, including G, I, and S, and you drop T, that means this becomes more negative, which means that we will run bigger trade deficits. And behind the scenes, when you hear a president or a president-elect like Obama say, I'm not going to worry about the trade deficits. Well, actually, he knows exactly why he's not going to worry about them, because those mothers are going to be negative as hell, because this is going to be negative as hell, and this isn't going to be soaking up any of the negative. Let me show it to you like this. Suppose that our exports are 200, our imports are 500. Our savings rate is 800. Our private investment is 900. Our savings amount is 800 and our investments are 900. Okay. That would mean we would have to have 200 minus 500 equals 800 minus 900 plus T minus G. So that would be negative 300 equals negative 100 plus T minus G. Talk to me. What will our federal budget surplus or deficit be in this scenario? It will be negative $200. That will not be a decision. It would be negative $200. It would just happen that way. So let's take it to a little more realistic scenario, and let's say, all right, we're going to have a savings of $1,400. Private investment is going to fall to $1,500. Okay, now our tax base is $2,000, and our government is going to burn at $2,800. We would have X minus M is negative $100 plus negative $800. So what will be our trade deficit or trade surplus in this regard? Negative $900. It's not a decision that's made independently. It is merely the consequence of the savings and investment and the taxes in the government. It's not a decision that anyone gets to make. So if we are going to make a decision to lower taxes and ratchet up the government, by definition, we will have made a decision to run worse trade deficits. We don't get to say, well, we'll decide how much trade deficits we run, and we'll get to decide how much our exports will be, our net exports will be. You don't get to make both decisions unless you're going to play with this number right here. Okay, let's say that we have the president say it this way. Well, the hell with that idea. We are going to take a trade policy, and we are going to force our trade deficits to zero out. But we're still going to spend out the ass compared to what we tax, as far as government goes. So let us then say, all right, we're going to force our trade deficits to go to zero. Okay, so zero would then have to be S minus T plus, I'm just testing your ass, S minus I plus T minus G. Okay? Okay, well, let's take the scenario over there where we're going to spend, we're going to have tax revenues of $2,000 and government of $2,800. Okay? So now, it will be the S minus I that will have to equilibrate the system. So we would have that our, we would end up with simply S minus I would equal, would $800. Okay? Now, why is that happening? Oh! Because if the government is going, if we're not going to get any money from overseas, central banks in foreign countries are not collecting American dollars, that would mean the only source of those dollars would have to be in the United States. And the only way that that could happen is if interest rates go up high enough that savings exceeds investment by the amount the government would need, $800. So, interest rates would again equilibrate, but what that would mean is that people were saving lots of money. Interest rates were so high that people were saving lots of money. Businesses weren't stepping in to borrow that money. And so that would give the $800 slush fund for the government to run its deficits. You follow it? You can't cause all three components of the system to do what you want. You do anything to one, it will affect the others. In this case, if we really did create some kind of a situation where we forced the trade deficits to zero out, but we still wanted to run government budget deficits, we would tank this economy like a mofo. Because I would have to go down, S would go up, so that there was such a surplus that the government could take it on. Could borrow that money internally rather than going to overseas markets. If the government's running a budget deficit, it has to get the money from somewhere. The way we've been doing it is by borrowing it from foreign central banks. If the foreign central banks don't have the money, then the only other place would be in the United States. And in order for the United States to provide that money, interest rates would have to go up so much that savings rates went to the point where there was $800 more in this case of savings than there was of private investment. But of course, if you are killing private investment, well, then you're killing the whole concept of a capitalist economy. So Mr. Obama seems to be understanding that concept, that if we don't want to have to use S minus I to get all of this big money the government wants to spend over how much it gets in tax revenue, then the only place to do that would be from the overseas markets, from the foreign central banks. And the only way they're going to get that money is by selling us stuff, those countries selling us stuff cheaper than we sell stuff to them, so that they collect a net inflow of greenbacks in the current account that can flow back to us, to the public sector in the capital account. If you understand what I have done here, then you probably deserve to pass my course, and you actually are going on your way to becoming something really bad, junior economists. If you get this, you understand more than virtually anyone in this country, most importantly, the media pundits do. You got a major grasp on how this economy works. And that means that when you walk out of this course, you can walk down the street and you can say, I'm bad. I'm an economist. So you can bite me. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.